Shogger, what is your upset pick of all eight series?
Yeah, good question. I don't think I really have any. I've kind of gone the way of going with a lot of the favorites. But if I were really have to take a close look at it, I think that there's some pretty high expectations on the Colorado Avalanche this year because of all this young talent and Patrick Waugh, and there's all this momentum, and they got a decent matchup here in the first round and all that. But, they run into one of the best defensemen in the league, and they're getting some good goaltending too. So I think people would be pretty surprised if Colorado didn't win the first round. So I could see that potentially as a pretty good upset. But I don't know. I'm kind of picking all the favorites this year.
Really? Okay. Yeah, I don't have a number four seed in any of the new divisions winning. Although if I had to pick one, I would have picked Minnesota. I'm with you. I think Minnesota. I don't think Columbus has a chance over Pittsburgh. I don't think Detroit has a prayer against Boston. And I don't really like Minnesota's goal. Excuse me, Dallas's goaltending against the Ducks in that first round. But Minnesota, with their defense, they might frustrate the young Colorado team early in the playoffs. And Colorado's overall team defense, they give up a lot of shots, they give up a lot of chances, and not that min the only if they were playing any other team in the West, I could see them losing. Just Minnesota's offense is so lethargic that I'm not sure it's a big concern. But I just think Ryan, that defense led by Ryan Suter, he's playing 30, he'll play 30 minutes a night for sure for them. That could be a big difference. We saw that with the Edmonton Oilers in 2006.
I think the biggest potential for upset would be Boston Detroit. I mean, if Detroit found a way to get by Boston, I think that would shock people pretty significantly. But I, like we talked about yesterday, I don't see that one happening either.
No. We're going to get to the order stuff in a second, Ryan. But
Sure.
Lindbach, I know he's going to start game one. What's the ETA on Bishop? Are we going to see him in this series?
I'm not sure. He actually skated this morning. He went out on his own, but no pads or anything, just kind of skated around a little bit. So I don't get the sense that his return is imminent, put it that way. I'd be surprised if he played in any of the first four games of the series based on what he's doing now and how long he's been out and how long it can take you to get back and get ready. So now, if Lindback really struggles, could they expedite that process? Maybe, but it's tough. I mean, it's one thing to play banged up if you're a forward or a winger or even a defenseman, but trying to play hurt as a goalie, depending on the injury, it's not just about managing pain. If your mobility is limited in any way, shape, or form, your movements, you put the whole thing at risk. So I don't get the sense, based on the fact that he's not skating with the team and he's not, I don't get the sense that it's imminent at all. They're going to have to ride this win back. If Gudlevski sees action in this series, it's not going well for Tampa.
Yes, very true. What about Montreal? What's the line combinations for the Habs?
Yeah, well, they've kind of shown they've shown a couple of different looks here and there. We're not entirely sure what they're going to do with Galchenyuk out, but basically they've got their big line of Pacioretty, Darnay, and Vanek. That's their number one threat. That was one of the best lines in hockey from January on. They're really, really good. The second line is where it gets interesting. You've got Eller, who can put up offense, but is a decent two-way player, and Gionta at center and right. That left wing spot is normally where Galchenyuk would slot in. So there's a chance Brandon Prust could potentially play there. He's returning to the lineup tonight, but Rene Bork is an option as well. I think going to play Prust with Plekanec and Gallagher, and that will be an interesting line. They might try and match that line against Stamkos a little bit along with the Eller line. But when you think about the way Prust plays and the way Gallagher plays, they're feisty guys. They play a robust game. You don't want to run into penalty trouble against Tampa. So that could be an interesting thing to watch, Prust return to the lineup tonight. And then they got Bourneval, Briere, and Dale Weiss on the fourth line. Now, Briere is kind of the X factor, right? He's a point-of-game player over his career in the playoffs. You have to think that maybe he gets an opportunity in a top-six role with Galchenyuk hurt. But the issue with Briere is they want him to play center. He's a much better center. He's not that effective as a winger. So that's basically how the top four lines shape up, assuming Brandon Prust is in.
Ryan Schaug joins us from TSN in Tampa Bay. Schauger, Anton Beloff signs a four-year deal, could go back to the KHL. So that means from last year's opening night roster, Dubnyk, LaBarbera, yeah. Smith, Hemsky, Brown, Nick Schultz, Beloff, Schmid, and I put Will Acton because I don't see any chance he starts in your opening roster. That's nine. Gagne didn't start on opening night. He was hurt, but... of course, was there in October. That could be potentially 10. Joensuu, Jones, 12. You know, you're talking maybe 13 out of 25 guys that they used early in the season gone. So that's a massive overhaul, yeah. Which says, okay, obviously the players weren't good. But is there also some concern to suggest that, man, the organization still brought all those guys in and realized, wow, they're not that good, so we're going to have to start again?
Yes. There is concern. Absolutely, there's concern. And I think we've talked enough about what Craig McTavish did well last year, but this was an issue in talent evaluation on a number of fronts, and it's been this way for a few seasons now, that guys who are brought in with the expectation of fitting a role, like, I don't know who had the idea to give Joensuu that contract, thinking he was going to show up in Edmonton and suddenly turn into something other than what he has always been. I just don't know where that thought process came from. Who scouted that? Who had eyes on that? Who was that call? I don't know if it's Scott Housen. I'm not sure where that call was made, but there's one. You give a two-year deal to a guy that can barely stay in the lineup on one of the worst teams in the league and didn't provide any of the requisite heavy play that they thought he would. So, yeah, that's a concern. You know, the Beloff was is a concern that call was made. Grebishkov, concern that call is made. There's a bunch of misses happening. Now, every team has them to a certain degree, but I'll tell you what. You look at this Tampa Bay team as an example of a group that's done an amazing job of filling their holes with good young players. In a lot of cases, rookies. But, like, the guys that, I mean, Palat, Johnson, you know, they find guys like Panic, you know, Paquette. Like, they've got a lot of really useful players because their pro scouting staff and their amateur scouting staff have put a lot of useful players in place, guys that they can rely on. And this is an example of when a scouting staff is functioning at a high level, the kind of depth and kind of players you can go find. Because they've been drafting pretty high as well, but they've got more to show for it here from both their pro scouts or their amateur scouts.
You tell me what you know about the young rookie in Tampa Bay who led their team. Now, granted, I guess that's with a little bit of an asterisk because St. Louis eventually got traded and Stamkos was hurt. But Andre Palat, 59 points. He's plus 32, 23 goals. You know, had 165 shots, I think, was fourth most on that team. How good is he, Ryan?
Well, I mean, by all accounts, he's the real deal. And it's not just an offensive game that this guy plays. He plays a real strong two-way game. Both of their rookies do, and Johnson does as well, play a really strong two-way game. They're legitimate guys, and they've had success together. They played really well together this season. I think that it'll be interesting to see if the offense can stay in this game early on in this playoff series, or maybe he'll be a little bit wide-eyed. But, I mean, he's a rookie, and he's starting on a line with Steven Stamkos on the number one line. He's the real deal. He absolutely is. And a couple of years ago, you ask, who's this guy, and nobody really has a clue. But, again, it's an example of the ability to find guys and put him in place. But good two-way game. Offensively, he's capable. As you see, he put up real good points this year, but a well-rounded game. So a nice compliment to Stamkos, as Johnson has been as well.
Ryan Schaug from TSN joins us. Ryan, Steven Stamkos came back from his injury and, you know, didn't put up Stamkos-like numbers, which is understandable for anybody. How effective do you think he will be in this series? And is he going to see a lot of Markov or Subban?
Oh, I think he'll see a lot of Markov.
Okay.
I think that, yeah, I just have this feeling that Michel Therrien doesn't have any interest in letting Subban go up against Steven Stamkos if he can help it. So I think that Markov and Yemelin will be the D pairing that he tries to get out there against them. Yeah, what will you see from Stamkos? I mean, I have a hard time believing he's going to be anything other than really good. I mean, this is his stage. This is his team. This is his time. He's rested. He's ready to go. His leg is healed. And you're right. The numbers weren't. I think he had one goal in his last four games and two in his last six or seven or something like that. Yeah, it wasn't necessarily there, but he was getting a ton of shots on net. And I think that Steven Stamkos is as confident as he's probably ever been. He's the true leader of this team. And with no St. Louis and no Le Cavalier, it all falls on his shoulders, and I think he relishes it. So my expectation is that Stamkos will produce this series, that we're not going to be doing a where is Steven Stamkos story. I don't think that the Canadians have the tools to shut this player down. I just don't think they have it.
Ryan, quickly before I let you go, do you see a team that would fit Sam Gagner to go to next season?
Well, let's put it this way. If the Oilers are open to the idea of eating some salary, then there's probably a bunch that wouldn't mind the prospect of Sam Gagner being there. But Sam at that number makes it tough. It all depends on whether the Oilers would be willing to eat a little salary. Any team specifically, I'm not sure. I don't know how the Leafs feel about Bozak as their guy. If there's a fit out there, perhaps. I mean, everybody needs centers. The problem is wherever you're pitching, Sam, they're asking the same questions that the Oilers are faced with. What is he? Is he a two or not? Is he a number two or not? The numbers would say that he's not. The salary would say he's close to being that way. So it's a tough deal. It's a tough deal to move. So if they eat some salary, then maybe there's a chance that the return will be better if you eat salary on it flat out.
Yeah.
But as for a specific team, nothing really pops into my head at the moment. What do you think? Is there an obvious one to you even?
Not an obvious one. Potential ones. I see if Carolina is really going to make an overhaul, then maybe, mm-hmm. but not for the. I don't see that. You know, the Jordan Staal coming back to Edmonton, so I'll be abundantly clear on that. I think it would have to be like a three-way deal or something like that, right? And that might be the. I have to look at the rules of a three-way deal, because I know that if you trade a player and Edmonton says they're going to retain 20% of a salary, right? You trade it to Carolina, then Carolina can then trade Sam Gagner, and then they can retain 20% of his salary as well, right? So I know that they could make it pretty unique as far as trading the salaries. It would have to be like a three-way, that's one transaction, then the next day kind of thing. So right. The contract is probably the bigger reason. Because Sam Gagner, I think a lot of people are going to look, and there's going to be some who think, okay, how much did the broken jaw really have to do with it? The previous year, 38 points, 48 games, looked like he'd taken a pretty substantial step to be a 55-point player. Which, in a 55-point player, you're pretty decent. You're top 60 scorer in the NHL then, right? So I wonder if people will look at the broken jaw and how much of a factor that plays into his trade value.
Yeah, well, I mean, his shortened season was the one where he put up the numbers, and $4.8 million on a guy that might get you 44 points, or he might get you 55 or 60 points, and you're not really sure which it's going to be. Who is a little bit sketchy in his own end, defensively, not that. I mean, if Sam had been able to build in a certain level of defensive reliability into his game by now, it would be a different case altogether. But what has failed to take in his game is the offense might not be there, but boy, he's doing a great job in his own end. Sam hasn't been able to find that balance. He's struggled in his own end, flat out. He has. And when the points aren't coming, and you're still considered to be a guy that has a tough go in your own end, well, now someone's taking a chance, and you're going to make a wholesale change. Yeah. And I think that's what makes it a tough sell at that dollar figure.
Yeah, the other one would be potentially the Islanders as well. Yeah, I know there's a lot, and I'm not saying Josh Bailey because that rumor's out there. I just look at the Islanders, and you know they need some secondary scoring for sure. There's not a lot after Oposo and Tavares, so that could be a potential one for them. But you're right, if they trade him there, they likely have to eat some contract, no doubt. Shager, we will be watching you. We'll talk to you later. Enjoy the playoffs.
Sounds good, pal. You too.